Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here for New Life with Dr. Henry Cloud and your phone calls. Glad you've joined us today for New Life Live.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi, Henry.
Hey, Stevie. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great today, and thanks for being with us. Always glad to do the program with you. And hope that if you haven't picked up a copy of Henry's book on integrity or the One Life Solution, maybe you'll do that. You know, one of the favorites, I think, Henry, that you've written is God Will Make a Way. And I don't know of any time where more people have needed to know that God will make a way than right now.
Steve, I was just thinking of that phrase yesterday. You know, that project, it was really interesting. It was a project that came in a partnership that John and I did with Time Life Television. And It was after 9/11 that they first came to us, realizing that it would have been in 02 or so, where when life gets destroyed and, you know, so many people's lives were destroyed, how do we pick up the pieces? And It came from the phrase from that, is it Don Moen that did that song, God Will Make a Way?
Yep.
And the reality is that really God's whole program is about stepping into impossible situations. That's his story. You know, That's his movie line. That's the plot. And so if you're in any kind of scenario where you are looking at a wall in front of you, doesn't mean your whole life is in shambles, but this area might be blocked or stuck, God will make a way if you ask him.
That's right. Well, and so many times we give up right before we see the way that God has made. And, you know, I just don't know a lot of people walking around saying that God is just moving way too fast in their lives. It is difficult, and it requires tremendous patience. But if you will hold in there and persevere, literally, God will make a way for you. And
you know, if you're a parent, that whole time dimension really makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? Because you watch your kids, you know, they're wanting to be able to go do this or go do that. And you know, well, that's like 5 years away. And I hope you mature to the place where I can give you that one day. But, you know, not today. Get back to your Cheerios.
Yep. I hope and pray that you'll be patient and wait upon God and let him act. Now, today, our free resource to you are 10 Steps to Guilt-Free Living. To get that or any of the resources, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. And October 19th, we're going to celebrate 30 years right there in Southern California at Mariners Church. We've been doing this for 30 years. Wow. And thousands of lives have been changed. We're going to celebrate that with gifts for everybody, prizes, refreshments, you name it. And all the radio hosts are going to be there. It's going to be one amazing celebration. 7 o'clock, we'd love for you to come. We'd love for you to tell us you're coming. But no matter what, you just come. And Mariners has been such a great part in our history. You know, John and Henry did the whole solutions thing there for years. And just a great church, and it's a life recovery church. I mean, Jack West uses the Life Recovery Bible and materials there, and it's fantastic. So we're going to celebrate there. You come join us for our 30th celebration. And since it is 30 years, you could celebrate that by supporting New Life at $30 a month. You get the video library that we do with all of our hosts. Great teaching. And this month we're sending you a thumb drive with 71 of the best teachings that we've ever done. Really good stuff. John, Henry, Dave, Jill, myself, all the folks are on there. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Say you can support us with that $30 a month or one-time gift. The one-time gift, change your thoughts, change your life, by Dr. Dave Stu.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th through the 11th.
There are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterman here. And why don't we go to Robert there in Dallas, Texas, listening on KWRD on line 2, I believe it is, if Robert's still there.
Robert, are you there? Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Yes, my question is, I've had something really weird. About a year ago, I was at church, and I had a girl that I had a crush on. She'd been going to my church for 5 years. I asked her out. I never did get her to go out with me, and she left the church. And it sparked off a wave of real sadness in me and depression because I wouldn't see her again. And you know, I thought it would last maybe, you know, a couple of months, but it's lasted about a year, and I'm just kind of wondering why something like this would linger so long. I don't know whether there's other things working in my life as well, going through midlife crisis, or which I've read some of your book on that.
But, yeah, and it was a five-year crush, Robert?
I'm sorry?
Did you say it was a five-year crush?
Yeah, she was in our church for 5 years, and I asked her out. I asked her out for a date, and I couldn't get her to go out with me. Now, she stayed in the church for about 5 years, and then she took a job somewhere else. And when I found out that she left the church, she came up to say goodbye, and it just sparked off a wave of sadness in me. And I just thought it's weird that it's lasted this long.
Yeah. Well, let me, and I don't mean this in any you know, pejorative kind of way, but to use your word weird, and what I mean by that is it's probably a sign that something is wrong, right? When
right.
we say something's weird, I think it's also weird or a sign that something is wrong that a crush that's unrequited, you know, somebody doesn't really respond back. They don't go out with you and this, that, and the other that can continue to last for that long.
Okay.
And kind of stay stuck and not pursuing other options at the same time. A lot of times, that's weird too. Because what it does is, it says, and here would be my concern for you, Robert. It says that inside of yourself, you've kind of gotten used to longing for love that doesn't show up.
Right.
And I would address that problem. You know, I think you've got to say, look, I want love in my life. I want relationship in my life. And I'm gonna hit the reset button on having gotten used to not having it and passively hoping and wishing that it's going to wake up and respond to me. And instead, begin to get a very active plan of finding the love in your life that you want. And so I think the passivity involved in this, probably when she left, it kind of got you into some of the, you know, we always talk about those deep pools of abandonment and isolation that are underneath the wish. It probably just triggered that. And so I think you need to get on a plan of getting a good community together where people love you and you're opening up and being vulnerable and supported and healed and all that. And then from that strong base, then you can kind of build outward from there. We're going to send you a copy of my book, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, and it might get at some of this.
Okay.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, Robert. Uh-huh.
You know, when you only see a person at church, it's so easy to idealize them. But I want you to know that I know this woman, and if you had gotten to know her away from church, she belches at the wrong time. She says mean things. She's inconsiderate. She's self-obsessed. She doesn't do laundry very well. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
She's a real live human being, and it wouldn't have been as wonderful as you thought. And sometimes it just helps you kind of move on. To think about, you know, some of the things, maybe even in a humorous way, that she was a human being and you only saw her in one context, and that was when she was all dressed up and nice at church.
Right.
She would have disappointed you.
Yeah, the other thing is, I mean, I'll be up front, I'm 52 now, and it was kind of my last...
Yeah.
I made kind of a last attempt.
What do you mean, last attempt? Robert, you're 52. Didn't you ever watch The Love Boat, man?
I'm sorry?
Didn't you ever watch The Love Boat?
Well,
okay. He's just saying that.
52 is not, you're not dead. Come on, you're in the, you're just getting kind of cranked up here.
Right.
Okay. So you talk about 52 like it's your last hurrah.
Okay.
I mean, Steve's got two little babies at home, and he's not 27.
That's right. But here's the thing. Now, Henry's helped you see, you know, that you've been wasting this time, and you can develop some insight here, and then you're really out there looking and available. And I got to tell you, in this dating world, a man who is a nice guy and considerate, he's got the upper hand here, or he's got a great advantage out there, and so I wouldn't end my search. I wouldn't give up. It could be just the beginning. Well, let me send you a copy of... Yes, sir?
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right, let me send you a copy of my book, Regret-Free Living, and I think it will help. It's all about relationships and how we can get stuck in them and stuck out of them. So I hope that will be something that will be a blessing to you. And why don't you pick someone there, Henry?
Well, why don't we go talk to Walter, who's calling us from that great city of Columbus.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Walter.
Good, Walter. How you doing?
Hi, Walter.
Oh, good. Hey, I have a question for you guys. I guess I can start off with that first. You mentioned in previous scenarios consequences in marriage as a way of, I guess in a sense, drawing a line in the sand. And my question is, what is the strongest option I have available to get the attention of what I would call a cold wife?
Well, usually when you think about consequences, Walter, is there's a lot of different dimensions. Sometimes they're your internal consequences that you act on. You know, okay. when something that somebody is doing that either is intentional or is addressable and changeable, you know, and somebody's not living up to their side of something, it causes either, you know, hurt or resentment.
Sure.
Or something like that. And so the first consequence would be that you take steps to make sure. See, consequences are designed to end something.
Correct.
So you take the consequences would be you take steps to end your pain, and so you start to talk to her about, you know, this is what's going on with me. And sometimes that step is a very different step than people have done before, because they've kind of been nagging somebody, and the consequence would be, look, the consequence of what's happened here is I'm very alone, and I'm very frustrated, I'm very hurt, and I just need to let you know that I've got to do something about this, okay?
Sure.
So I want us to go to counseling, for example. And if you don't choose to go, then I'll go by myself and talk to a counselor about how do I exist in a relationship where somebody's not responding to me. So you start internally. And then the other side is, you know, from the other person's perspective, I think consequences have to matter to someone. And yet, and just like, you know, it's just like with anybody else, a consequence is not going to do any good if you're not giving consequences that matter to her.
Sure.
So you got to find out what matters to her that you do.
Well, I guess my thing with that is that in the past, her and I've had many conversations about, you know, how I feel about it, and she's pretty open to hearing those things, but the point being is that I think I've talked so much, and from my vantage point, I feel like things are just not progressing as they should. So at some point in time, I feel myself feeling very angry, as you mentioned, kind of having that resentment and things like that. So I feel like I almost need something at my disposal to really make her kind of put it in light, if you will. Say,
well,
you know what?
Yeah, I don't think that that's even a bad thing. See, I think that every relationship should be kind of talking in the beginning stages. When you're talking to her, for example, and you say, okay, you know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start opening up, or we're going to go on date night, or we're going to go to therapy, or whatever it is. And she agrees to that. And if you said she's open to it and she's not resisting it, then what you say is, okay, that's our plan. Now, honey, let's talk about what are we going to do if that doesn't occur? And I would sit down with her, and I would outline the consequences of what happens if you or I, and I'd make both of us, if you or I don't follow through with what we said we're going to do, then let's talk about what should happen at that point. And then, you know, if you're just at those stages where she's open and trying to help, then I would get buy-in to stage two.
Okay.
And figure out what happens at that point. And then when it happens, then follow through.
And I guess my difficulty with that is just kind of looking down the road is I don't want to get to the position of using, I guess, manipulation to bring about the desired effect, if that makes sense.
I don't understand what that means.
So in other words, I say, hey, here's my stick here, and if it doesn't go my way, then this stick is going to land on you later down the road. I'd rather change the behavior and the essence of the behavior versus...
whose behavior? Whose behavior?
Her behavior. So let's say I say...
Well, you see, you just said you're going to change her behavior, right? Well, that's, quote, manipulation. And this is not manipulation. Look, when God tells us, you know, if you walk this way, here's what I'm going to do. But if you choose to walk the other way, here's what I'm going to do.
Sure.
Is that manipulation?
No.
No, you're just defining the kind of marriage and the kind of relationship that you want to have. But that always takes two parties. And so each party has to have some sort of bottom line. You know, if you scream at me, I will leave the house. Okay, that's not manipulation. That's just standing with your values.
Okay, sure, that makes sense.
So don't worry about... You can't really manipulate anybody. You're not, you know, people aren't robots. What you can give people is choices. And you can say, you know what, honey? I want to connect with you. I want us to go out on a walk, and I want us to talk, and I want us to go to dinner, and this, that, and the other. But if you don't really want that, then you know, that's fine. I'll go out with my buddies.
Right.
But I'm going to have relationships in my life.
Right.
And I'm just curious, before we move on, if we were talking with her,
mm-hmm.
and she was at her most objective place in her life, and she could objectively and accurately share what it is that you could do differently, what do you think that would be?
You know, that's an interesting question. Her and I have gone over many things, quite frankly, that she says, hey, you know, Walt, if you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. And to be frank with you, there's many things she has on her list over the years. And I personally feel, to a certain degree, I kind of jump through hoops. I'm kind of a plug-and-chug guy. You give me a part of the equation, I stick it in there. And on the other side, I'm expecting a certain result based off of the information I got in the first place.
Right.
And it happens that when I get this information, sometimes on the other side, that result that was promised, hey, well, you know, we're going to get along, it doesn't happen, hypothetically. So that's... I'm not sure what she would say, because there's so many things she's put on the table. Hey, I'm stressed. Hey, the house is dirty. Hey, there's finances. Hey, you know, there's things at my job. So there's different things where I say, hey, well, hey, how can I be of help to you?
And you're doing that.
Right.
Okay, now is she, and you're doing your part, then do you make your request and does she do hers?
No.
Okay, well, just stop for a second.
Sure.
I don't think there's anything wrong. I've said this to couples. I go, look, guys, There's only two ways to have relationship in the universe. There's love and there's law. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, what love dictates is that you're treating somebody else like you would want to be treated. And Jesus basically told us, when love is dominant, you don't need a bunch of laws. You only need two: love God and love your neighbor.
Sure.
Right? So what's happening is we're not really treating each other like we would want to be treated. That's breaking down. So what we need is we just need some rules. We need some laws. So we're going to have a contract. So let's talk about, here's what I would like from you this week. You tell me what you would like from me, and then we'll write it down, and then we'll just review it every week and kind of see if we're both living up to our part.
Sure.
I would do it that way.
Okay, Walter. I'm going to send you the book we're featuring this month, Regret-Free Living. I hope that'll be a blessing to you.
And
to all of you, you can live a life that's regret-free. Doesn't mean you just go out and sin and then you don't think about it anymore. You find a way to avoid certain things that cause regret. You do it in relationship. And when you do, you change that pattern. And in relationship, you heal those things that are regretful. Regret-free living.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artimer here with Dr. Henry Cloud. Henry, the guy we had on just then, Walter, he said he was a plug and chug guy or something like that, and you just acted like you knew exactly what that meant.
Well, I sort of pictured the old diesel engine just plugging
diesel
along
engine.
And chugging along, yeah. And doing, you know, he kind of sounded like whatever's required of him, he does, you know, good-hearted guy, loving, responsible guy, which brings up a problem, Steve, for a lot of listeners, I think, and that is, you know, when you're a loving and responsible person, you're prone to a common error. And the common error is that you love people and you act responsibly and you kind of think that they're like you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of do what you do, which is, you know, if there's something, you just tell people and you think they'll lovingly do their responsibility. And then when they don't, a lot of times loving, responsible people don't know what to do next because they think, well, I told them, well, I'll tell them again. Maybe if I tell them twice, you know, it doesn't work.
Yeah. So you just continue to plug and chug or you try something different.
There you go.
It just might work. Hey, I want to talk to Sarah from Indianapolis, Indiana. She listens online. We're glad that she does. Sarah, you're on with Dr. Henry Cloud and Steve Arterburn. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's going on?
I love you guys. I started listening to you in college on en route to school, and I have really benefited from your ministry, so thank you.
Cool.
Thank you.
How long ago was that when you started listening?
Let's see, about 3.5-4 years ago.
3.5-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Wonderful. Well, what's going on now?
Well, I think I'm a plug-in chugger, and I think I'm a loving, responsible person who doesn't know what to do next.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, you're not alone.
Thanks. Certainly, I'm not perfect. But I've got a friend, and my question is, how do you lovingly confront sin without being punched in the face for it?
You may not be able to, by the way.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
Is that your criteria?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Well, the easy way is to, you know, do a little channel surfing and watch one of those cop shows where they go knock on the door and lovingly say, is there a problem here? And somebody shoots at them, right? But here's kind of the Bible's version on that. It depends on the kind of person you're dealing with. If you're dealing with somebody who's open to confrontation and you know, hearing the truth, then the Bible says they'll love you for it. They're not going to punch you. But it says that if you're dealing with a second category of a person called the mocker or the fool, it says, it basically says, do not confront a mocker lest you incur insults upon yourself. And it also says, you know, about more destructive people, if you confront a wicked person, then you're going to get hurt. So there's kind of a little bit of a ramp up here in the way this works, that you try and you talk to somebody, but like Matthew 18 says, if you're not getting a good response, then sometimes you have to kind of have a different kind of conversation. So what's going on? Who are you dealing with?
It's a friend of mine, and we've been really close in years past, but we haven't been as close in the last few years. She got married, and I knew she was kind of having trouble in her marriage, and then one day I got an email from her husband addressed to all of her friends saying that they were contemplating divorce and, you know, please talk to her if we could or do anything we could. So it was a little uncomfortable for me since we hadn't been as close, but I invited her out to dinner and we had a great time. We talked and she was able to share a lot.
Did she tell you about the marriage problems?
Some of it, yes. I knew there was more than what she was sharing with me, but she was somewhat open. But I knew I knew about things that she wasn't sharing with me.
From the husband?
Yes.
What kind of things, quickly?
That she was having an emotional affair, maybe more not sure, with someone at work.
And did she tell you about that?
No.
Okay.
She thanked me for going out, and then it wasn't even a couple hours later I got the most malicious email I had ever received about we had no right to, I had no right to be talking to her husband without her, and that I was such a terrible friend and all these things. And so it just sort of left on that note. So I kind of wrote back. I was just trying to be loving. I wanted to help. Then we didn't talk for a little while. And then just recently we were talking again, and it's just been so malicious, and I'm at my wit's end. I don't know if I should just not keep going with this relationship, but I have this burden on my heart for her, and I love her.
Well, let me ask you, are you talking about the issue or not talking about the main issue?
How it's left now is she said we can be friends, but we can't talk about this thing. We can't talk about my marriage or anything like that.
Okay, and when she sent this scathing email 2 hours later, it's because she had found out that her husband had kind of sent you on a mission.
Other girls.
And had you talked back with the husband?
No. Then I told her I wouldn't talk to her husband, I would just talk to her.
No. Before, when you took her out to dinner, had you had a conversation with the husband after the email?
I had sent an email back.
And said, okay, I'll take her out to dinner?
I said I would do what I would call her, and I tried to encourage him a little.
Okay, but you didn't tell her that you had talked to the husband.
Correct.
Uh-oh. We'll talk
well,
after the
break.
Well,
she knew later, yeah.
Yeah, she knew later. But No, I totally understand the dilemma you were in, but let's kind of talk about it after the break.
Neither of you were being very upfront with each other. That's always tough. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back for more.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was, it was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We are back, and we're talking with Sarah, who, and I use this term loosely, whose friend will be her friend if they don't talk about the big thing that's going on in her life. And how can you really be a friend or in a friendship that's a real friendship?
Yeah.
If you can talk about everything but the biggest deal that's going on in your life. Mm-hmm. Henry, you were about to talk about the dilemma of, she hadn't really told her friend that she had talked with her husband.
Yeah. Yeah, Sarah, I think that, and with all good intentions, I think you got caught in something that's really easy to get caught in. And sometimes, you know, here's what happens. And therapists actually find themselves in this same dilemma, right? Dysfunctional systems, be that dysfunctional relationships or families or companies or whatever it is, they tend to act in dysfunctional ways, right? And so the husband, you know, unable to get a hearing with her very well, kind of went behind her and tried to marshal some forces, which is helpful. And it's what we're actually supposed to do, but it's supposed to work in a particular kind of way, and that's kind of like in the light. And so, you know, it would have been better, instead of triangulating, it would have been better for him to say, you know what, I think we need to, if you're not going to respond to me, then I need to talk to some of your friends. Or at least if he talked to some of the friends, like Matthew 18 says, that y'all go to her, you know, in full disclosure, that this is about a problem. You see what I'm saying? So you got caught up in it. You know, we've all gotten caught up like this, and so it's just a learning curve. But I would suggest two different tracks to you. Number one is just to understand the problem. If you're ever in something like this again, then invite her to dinner. And just start out with, you know what, I am so glad we're getting to catch up, and I want to catch up. But just so we have really good trust, you know, I need to let you know so you kind of know what I know. And, yeah. You know, you're not caught off guard. Your husband sent me an email, and here's what he said. And if I can be of any help, I'm here to help. If you don't want to talk about that, at least you know that I know. And then she would kind of know where she stood.
Yeah.
So what happened was she went back, and she kind of felt like ganged up on and et cetera, even though people were trying to help. So that was kind of the problem. So to address that, which goes with the second track, here's what I would probably do. I'd write her back and say, you know what, I totally understand how you feel. I was in an awkward spot. I should have told you that he had contacted me and that I knew some things. And I totally understand why you feel, you know, whatever you feel, ganged up on or whatever. And I hope you'll accept my apology for that, et cetera, et cetera. You know, at the same time, I would love for us to be friends, and I'd love to, like any friend, be of any help that you would want to be of help, you know, that you would want help in this. And now that you know kind of where I'm coming from, that I'm for you and want to help, I'd be glad to talk further. And then I would just kind of leave it at that and see how she responds.
Okay. Well, it's sort of at a weird spot now because the last thing she told me was, I almost gave her an ultimatum, like, I'd like to have a real relationship, not like this kind of superficial one we've been keeping up. And she said, well, she kind of like, well, thank you, I'd love to keep the friendship as long as, you know, you stop doing these inappropriate things. Kind of blames a lot, and then she.
Yeah, but the problem with.
But I'd like to just continue a one where we don't talk about things with me and my husband.
Yeah, well, you might start there if you want. And here's the problem: when it's really tough to deal with blamey people, right? It's harder when we give them bullets to fire at us. And so, having kind of started down this funny road, you got to kind of do some repair work to find out if you can go down the right road more deeply. And so, I'd probably just acknowledge, gosh, you're right. You know, this gang up thing and being in the middle is not good. I'll be glad to meet with you and just see how helpful you can be. And at some point, you're going to get to a place where she's either responding to your help because she's softening, or you, like Steve was saying, kind of draw a line where you say, you know, we've been getting together here for a long time. We're really not even talking about anything. This isn't how my normal friendships go. Are you afraid of me? Are you afraid of telling the truth? What is it? And you address it at that point.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. We frequently, when we talk to people who are having an affair, we say, well, you know, probably the lack of or the superficiality of your same-sex friendships and relationships have kind of set you up for this. And it seems like to me, as you describe her, she's a very, very disconnected person to her friends. And there isn't really an emotional, deeper connection with her. You're more like close acquaintances than real friends. And so, you know, she's not going to know how to have a real life friendship with you right off the bat, probably. But I tell you, I would sure let her know that no matter what, you're going to hang on to her. You're going to be coming after her in a positive way, that you're going to persevere with her, that she means a lot to you. I think if somebody that's in trouble, it's easy to just, you know, dust off the sand of your sandals and move on. But if you can be there and try to help her, even in the face of rejection, you know, it really could make a difference for her.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Henry, how about your book on that difficult conversation? Maybe that would add some.
Yeah, John and I wrote a book called How to Have That Difficult Conversation You've Been Avoiding. And it'll just kind of give you some, you know, some ingredients, some formulas to think about, even some scripts of how you might talk to her. And maybe not even on the first meeting, but as your relationship goes on, it's a helpful little map.
All right. We'll send that to you. And anybody else interested, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. That is where you call, and we hope and pray that something we say here will mean something to you. If it is, would you email, let us know, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to newlife.com.
Hey,
and,
Steve.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Were you going to give more info there?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was trying to interrupt you before we went to the calls because I wanted us to talk about something for a second.
Okay.
This is a real key learning point, I think. You know, psychologists call this triangulation, and it's where person A has a problem with person B, so instead of dealing with person B, they deal with person C to go deal with person B, right?
Yeah.
So it's a triangle. And if you'll look through the Bible, God, the basic formula is to avoid triangulation and to deal with people directly. And what you'll see in really dysfunctional relationships is people avoid dealing with anybody directly. They talk to the third party about the person they have problems with. Well, here's the problem. That keeps splits going. See, this friend has a split. You know, she's connected to her husband, but she's kind of having her own life on the side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she wants her friends to just have her life on the side and not integrate the husband problems with their friends, which would do away with the triangle and bring everybody into the same room. And that's called integration. It's called integrity. It's called wholeness. And when everybody gets in the same room, we solve problems. People that are invested in keeping problems going triangulate and split.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those, like you say, it's a great teaching point because it's one of those great life lessons to avoid triangulation and to deal with what needs to be dealt with versus separate something out. And even if it's just in your own private life, whether it's just from you or anybody else, you have to bring out into the open those things that want to stay secret. That's how we integrate all into our life.
And you know what, Steve? I've got to do a little Stevie praise moment here for a second. This is one of the things that I love about you. I think you do this very, very well. If there's ever a problem, you pick up the phone and you call somebody and talk about it.
Got to do it.
It's good. I've seen you do it over the years. And, it's a high trust thing.
Yeah. And I just had somebody talk to me about a problem the other day, and I just thought, you know, this is how life gets lived in Christian community. It's not always avoiding the reality or the tough thing. And it's amazing how many times, if you just talk about things, you understand, you work it out, and the big dilemma actually becomes a point of connection between two people. And I think in this case, if she had gone to her and said, your husband talked to me.
Exactly.
I think this could have been a totally different dynamic. And they might have, over this very tough thing, they might have been able to come together and say, you know, and see how they both have some things in common there in this whole area outside of marriage. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more of your calls. Hi, this is Steve Arterman from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special. And the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant? hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. And Henry's written many books, God Will Make a Way, a wonderful book on integrity that you see in bookstores and airports all around. And the One Life Solution, just some great books you can get at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and newlife.com. And, you know, before we go to the next call, I've mentioned this before, but I was reading to our team last week a letter from a woman who gave her last $10 in her account. And I asked them, who do you think I would rather thank? This woman who gave us $10, her last $10, or someone who took out $100,000 from a trust fund, gave it to us, and didn't experience any difference in their life? Well, of course, the answer was, I wanted to thank this particular woman.
But if the person gave you their entire trust fund, you'd call them as well, right?
Well, we want to call them as well.
I get the point.
Want to be sure in this ministry that we acknowledge the sacrifice.
Right.
Not just the amount. And we have been so amazed at how many people give sacrificially to this ministry, and we don't take it lightly. We're grateful. And if you can help us, help others. Help us be on the radio right here, right now. Would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and tell them right now, okay, I want to help out.
Steve.
Okay, let's jump over here.
One little comment about that.
Okay.
You know, what you're talking about is, a lot of people probably recognize, has a biblical story about the widow's mite, where Jesus said exactly what you just said, that this woman had given everything she had. And we're not asking people to, give us everything you have to keep the show in the air. But here's kind of a point that I would echo in that, Steve. You know, in those letters where people do that, one of the things that we see is, usually is two things we see. One is that somebody's life has really been impacted. Mm-hmm. And they're moved because of what the New Life crew, be it the show or the workshops or the call center or the weekends or whatever that did, treatment centers, that their life was changed and they give back. And that is a heart motivation. You know, that's a real, comes out of somebody's heart and soul, like the widow's mite, no matter what the amount is. And the second thing we see is that people who have whatever in their lives, health, blessing, all of that, or they've come through hard times, that they have a compassion for those who are still in a very tough place. And they know that this nonprofit ministry reaches into those dark areas of people's lives and causes turnaround, and that they want to join us from their hearts, even if it's $10, and be part of what we're trying to do with God's help to reach people. And so I think, that is what the widow's mite is about. It's about heart motivation to get on board.
I agree. Yeah, and people say, boy, I wish I could talk to people like you guys do. Well, you can through supporting this ministry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to our final caller, and let's talk to Monique from Oakland, California, listens on KFAX. Monique, we don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
What can we do for you today?
Okay, well, I've been with my kid's father for 7.5 years, and we've lived together the whole time, and he recently went to jail about a month ago, and he was he used drugs, but now that he never came home, now that he's in jail, he says he changed his life, he found God, and he wants to come home, but I don't know how to tell him that. I've tried to tell him I'm happy about myself now, but just my kids, and I don't want him here. I mean, I love him, but I don't, you know, I'm much happier living with just me and my girls. And okay. I don't know how to tell him, break it to him easy, because I tried to, but he just doesn't get the hint.
Well, let me mention this to you. He's your husband.
No. My kid's his father.
He's not your husband. He's what?
No. Just my kid's dad.
Okay. And not your husband.
No.
But now he wants to come be part of your life.
Yeah, well, he always lived with us, but he was using drugs and going, you know, be gone a few days and come back and think everything was okay. And
right.
I thought I'd be devastated living without him, but now I've found, I'm a baby Christian. Yeah. I just found God a few months ago, and my life has changed, and I love my life now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Emma,
he's saying he found God too, right?
He says he did. Well, he's been in jail, but I don't. Okay. I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, what if you said to him, whoa, I want to take this very slowly. Things have happened to me. I'm enjoying life, and I think we need to back up. We both had these experiences with God that would lead us to believe we shouldn't live together unless we're married. So let's just slow this down, and let's see how it goes. And maybe, I'm just saying this, if you might be open to see if on a date with this guy, he has made some changes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's one option. Henry, what's another option for her that she could take with not wanting the father of the kids back in her life?
Yeah, Monique, I would say a couple of things. One of the things you've noticed is that, gosh, it's a lot easier without him around, right?
Yes, it is.
well, let's dissect that. What did him being around mean? It meant drug addiction. It meant erratic behavior. It meant disconnectedness. It meant longing for connection where there is none. It means somebody's there and then they disappear. You're wondering about them. You're in constant upheaval. You got chaos with a kid.
So yes.
you don't want any of that. Okay, but see, I would, if I were you, I would make a distinction between the person and what it is you don't want. Okay, so then you let your standards and your values be your guide. And you say, you know what, like you said, I love you, but here's what I don't love. Here's what I can't be around. And you list all those things. And you say, if you're somebody, you're telling me now, that doesn't create all of those things, then we're in a different ball game.
There's
and
hope.
I've never seen before, and I'm going to give you a chance to show me what it would look like to relate to you without having all the collateral damage.
Yeah, because it'd be like maybe a week at a time where he'd be clean, and our life was happy. You know, even he goes, you know, I remember not too long before I went to jail, you know, we were happy. And I was like, yeah,
well,
you know. It's like I hate him when he's on drugs, but when he's clean, I love him so much. I think that's why I hang on.
Well, that's what we're saying.
Okay, have a different standard, though. And it's not whether he's clean, but it's whether he's going to meetings, whether he's getting counseling, he's working with his probation officer. Those are some standards that you need to hold him to, not just that he's not using. But Henry and I are both saying maybe before you just throw this guy away, since he is the father of your kids, you know, and he just may have made a major change in his life.
And your child needs her father.
Yeah. Yes, I have two. I have a 20-month-old and a 6-year-old by him.
Well, come on.
All right. Well, I'm just going to encourage you. Give it a shot there.
Gradual, Steve. The big thing is it's not all or nothing. You don't say, okay, come back. He's got to earn his way back, step by step.
Which in the big scheme of mistakes made over troubled relationships, it's the all or nothing, I hate you, or come back and let's act like nothing ever happened, extremes that cause so many problems, and we want you to avoid that. I'm going to send you my book, Regret-Free Living. We've been offering it all month here, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It's not a way to live beyond guilt and shame. It's a way to avoid it, and then if you've done something regretful, how do you work through it within relationship? It's a relationship book on regret-free living, and I hope and pray that if you want to live beyond regret, you'll pick up a copy. My thanks to Dr. Henry Cloud. He is the best at this, and I'm so grateful I get to do this program with him. I'm about 85 times smarter because I've been with him so long right here doing this. Thanks, Henry. Thanks to all of you who support us. See you next time.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.